Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Gregory Crawford on Basketball Show. We do this show every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific Time, where we bring on great guests, great people, and love doing the show, and we talk strictly all about basketball. And while I'm talking about the show, I want to remind you that if you can't listen live to any of the shows we do on Blog Talk Radio, you can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com and just punch in Gregory Crawford on basketball, and that will give you every show that we've ever done by the date. And in case you have a special person you want to listen to or whatever, because we kind of have a pretty consistent programming throughout the month where we talk to these outstanding coaches and just try and do a good job of promoting people that maybe you don't hear a lot from or don't get a lot of media attention. I am Gregory Crawford. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops, and I hope you do that. And I usually follow back, as long as you're respectful, at WC Hoops, just like it sounds. And I don't tweet as much as some people do, but I do tweet often when I get a chance, and I enjoy it. And I think it's a great form of not only social media, but just of information to get out there. I wish more basketball coaches tweet a little bit more, but I know they don't always have time to do it. I'm sure they have fun at doing it, but don't always have time to do it because there's so much going on in their lives. We're going to be joined here very shortly by Mako Hamilton, the head men's coach at George Fox University, and that's located in beautiful Newburgh, Oregon. And, of course, George Fox is a member of the Northwest Conference, and we're gradually inching our way where we talk to all the coaches in the Northwest Conference at some time or another. It's a great conference. Every coach in that league will tell you they're not going to out-coach the other guy, so you really got to work hard to get talented student-athletes into the fold. It's a league that has fabulous coaches. Didn't have any coaching changes this past year, which is, you know, one of very few leagues that did not happen to as well. So it is a fun basketball, always a good time. And one of the guys that makes this league very fun and talented, and one of those talented coaches is Mako Hamilton, the men's basketball coach at George Fox University. And Mako, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing well, Greg. Thanks for having me again.
You betcha. Every second Wednesday of the month, we're going to talk to Mako year-round and never run out of subjects, topics, or anything to talk to him. Mako, the last time we talked to you, obviously, was February. You had your schedule still intact to finish the year. Kind of break down is, in a composite view, your 15-16 season at George Fox coaching the men's basketball team?
It was up and down season, very inconsistent, which was kind of the nature of the makeup of our roster because we were so young and inexperienced. But all in all, you know, it was a great year for me personally because we had just a great group of young men who really bought into our culture, laid a great foundation to what I believe will be a great future. They worked hard. They're very coachable. They responded well. And I'm excited to see, you know, kind of how they grow and progress over the next 7 or 8 months of this off season, and then what they come back, you know, a year older. But, yeah, it was a great year. Obviously, we weren't, you know, we didn't win a whole lot of games, but sometimes you got to sacrifice a little thing to get the kind of the groundwork, the framework laid down, and I think we did that.
Mako, when you talk about the use of the term, which I think is a great one, I love it when people say that, buying into the culture. I love the culture of anything. Expand on that. What does that mean for George Fox University basketball?
Well, I mean, for us, you know, our culture, what we want to be represented, you know, are a few different things. One, we want to have young men who have a competitive drive, you know, that are willing to compete in all aspects of life. You know, obviously we want them competing on the basketball court, But we want them competing, you know, in their preparation, whether it be their film study, whether it be the way that they recover their bodies, how they take care of themselves, whether it be, you know, in their visualization, whether it be, you know, studying their scouting reports, getting into their playbooks. We want them competing, you know, and getting better. So that's, you know, getting into the weight room. That's with skill development stuff. We want them competing in the classroom, you know, academically challenging themselves. And then we want them competing in life just as men. So that's one aspect that's really, really important to the culture that we want to have established at George Fox. And then the second thing is we want to have young men who are full of passion. It's really important for us that we get guys who love the game of basketball, because at this level, it's a grind. It's tough. You know, not every day is the same, and you got to have a love for it. And then lastly, we just want great young men of character, guys who are going to represent our program, our institution, and then obviously their families with integrity and with high character. So when we're talking about our culture, those are the three things that we're really looking for. And I think the guys that we had this year, I mean, the young men that we had in our program this year, they did a great job of exemplifying that. And like I said before, laying down that groundwork of what it's going to be. And now we get to build on that. And that's really exciting.
Mako, it's been probably about a couple weeks since you finished the year in the Northwest Conference. Tell our listeners, they would enjoy, what are you doing right now? Do you meet with players right now? Do you give the young men kind of a break? I know you're out recruiting, obviously, because this is tournament time, looking at all kinds of different players from all different kinds of schools. But as far as dealing with your team and the recruiting aspect, what's on the agenda for you the next couple weeks?
Yeah, so, you know, we kind of transitioned from the busy season of grinding, you know, during the year. Now we're grinding through in the off season. So, obviously, recruiting is definitely paramount right now. You know, we are kind of in that process now where it's getting to the point where we're hoping to get kids committed to our program, guys who we've been, you know, recruiting for several, you know, a lengthy amount of time. So, you know, we're kind of in that final stage or that final push to get those key guys committed. You know, we're always, you know, obviously keeping an eye open just for, you know, kids that may pop up now, you know, transfers start to happen and just new kids that you may not be aware of. And then, you know, here soon we'll be keeping an eye towards, you know, the class that'll be, you know, putting in work here in a year from now. So that's a big part of it, you know, from the coaching standpoint. Then obviously, you know, with our guys and our program, you know, yeah, we want them to take some time off to heal up, to recover, to mentally just kind of, you know, get away from it. And then, you know, our guys are starting back doing workouts. They're, you know, they push themselves hard in the weight room and on the court. You know, and like I said, we have so many guys back. That's really cool that they're able to hold each other accountable and really push themselves with that. And we met with our guys, you know, over the last couple of weeks just to kind of, you know, exit interviews, if you will, just kind of closer to the season and give them a you know, positive affirmation on the things that they did well and then some motivation on some things that we want to see them obviously doing this offseason to better themselves moving forward. So that's really where we're at right now. And you know, obviously, the time commitment from the coaching standpoint, it doesn't change. It just kind of shifts in a different light, and that's what we're doing now.
Mako, it's been a while since I was at a division. It was NAIA at that time. And it's been such a while that Richard Nixon was just starting his first term when I started college. But, you know, the dynamics of getting student-athletes to play at George Fox in the Northwest Conference, a little different than the dynamic of maybe a Division I player in the recruitment process, considering the financial aid packages, what you can and can't do.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, we absolutely have, you know, some challenges. But I think, you know, there's challenges at every level. You know, I think kids have aspirations to reach the highest level possible. And so the guys that we're recruiting, you know, they may have aspirations to be at a, you know, at a low Division I or Division II school. And if you're at a Division II school, those kids you're recruiting probably think they're mid-major kids, and if you're at a mid-major school, they probably think they're high major, you know, and so on and so forth. So, you know, I just look at the situation that we're in, and I think there's pros and cons, there's positives and negatives to every situation. I don't think anyone has it perfect, and so we just gotta find the, you know, and focus in on the positives that we have here and go with it. So, you know, the hurdles that we run into, some of the barriers and the roadblocks, we understand those, we accept those, and we try to do our best to, we try to do our best to overcome them as best as we can, and we hope that through this process we are identifying the right young men, the right families who will ultimately value, our university, they'll value what our coaching staff is doing in our program, and they'll appreciate and accept the investment that you know, they potentially could be making.
Mako, I want you to comment on the shooting aspect a little bit later, but I was going to tell you that I talked to a lot of coaches, as you know, in all levels of college basketball, and there's two things that are constant with all of them. They say, get me some shooters. You know, I got to get me some shooters. And the other thing they talk about is, man, it's getting tougher to schedule in the non-conference area of scheduling. Is that a hard thing for you to do at George Fox, the scheduling aspect? Because before we know it, it's going to be November.
Yeah, no question. You know, the scheduling, the toughest part for us is just getting home games, just because of our location and, the proximity to our school, and, you know, as it relates to the other schools at the Division III level. There's only two conferences west of the Mississippi and, you know, our conference, and then obviously the Southern California Athletic Conference. And, they don't want to leave California in the winter months to come up here and play, so it's challenging, and not a lot of teams want to fly, you know, halfway across country to come and play. So that's our biggest challenge. It's not necessarily finding games. It's can we get some of those teams to come out to our place so we're not traveling, you know, multiple times in the non-conference schedule. So far we've been able to, you know, this past season we were obviously able to have, I think we had four home games, and next year it looks like we're going to do that as well. So far we've been okay. Maybe it's because these teams feel like they can feast on our young squad, but hopefully here in the near future it might be a little bit tougher to do that. But yeah, that's the challenge I think most of the schools in our conference face.
You're a highly successful coach, and I would consider truly an expert in the field of basketball. In your own words, how important is a non-conference season, and what do you like to get out of that non-conference as you head to league play, which kind of is broken up a little bit in the Northwest Conference, but you do play games in November and December. The majority of them are non-conference games.
Yeah, I think there's different philosophies as it relates to what coaches do in the non-conference. I think for myself personally, this may change as I get more seasoned, you know, at this level, but I've always been a big believer I like playing a rigorous non-conference schedule for a few different reasons. Number one, I think it's really good to have great competition because it gives you a good idea and a good perspective on where your basketball team is at. And obviously, you know, through the course of the year, as you know, Greg, teams improve, it can get better, but it's really good. I mean, I think the best way to grow is to understand where you're at. And I think when you play a tough schedule, you get an idea absolutely of what your strengths are and what those areas of deficiency are. So for me, that's kind of paramount. So trying to schedule the toughest possible non-conference schedule that we can get. And then, you know, really, depending on your team and where they're at, you know, a lot of times you're using those nine games that you have to see, you know, what you do have and what pieces fit together and, you know, where you're at, so that when you get to the conference play, you're able to make those subtle adjustments and really move ahead. I mean, there's been times where you kind of learn a little bit about what lineups you can play together. Schematically, there might be some things you go into the season really wanting to do, and then, you know, after four or five games, you realize that, geez, you know, maybe we're not as good at doing this, or, you know, maybe we should try to do this. You might have some, you know, thoughts, ideologies on what roles you want certain players to play, and then, you know, again, through the course of a handful of games, you may make changes to that. So I think the non-conference is great, and just helping to get familiar with your basketball club, especially if you have a new team, or if you have a team that's younger and not seasoned, that gives you some time to be able to do that, which is something that I've experienced these last couple of years that I've been at George Fox.
Minko, are you concerned, like a lot of other coaches, and you may not be, which is fine, that shooting in basketball is kind of taking a little backward step? Often it's blamed on the fact that young people are playing so many games in the off season that they're not working on their fundamentals.
Yeah, I don't know, Greg. I mean, I think the shooting aspect of the game, you know, I think it's getting better. I think there was a kind of a dull period there. But, you know, if you look at it like at the professional level, you know, I think over the last, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years that, you know, at the NBA level, they're shooting the ball better. I mean, there was a stretch there where they weren't shooting well. I mean, they had to adjust the line. And, you know, that's when we were having problems, you know, in international competition. But I really think you're seeing that change. And it's kind of having a trickle-down effect, obviously. I still think there's probably some issues at the high major level. But, you know, at our level, I mean, the shooting is phenomenal. You know, it's really a big part of the strengths of our level. So I think you're starting to see it, you know, tick up a little bit. And I think maybe one thing that plays into it is these young men now, you know, are – you getting the ball in your hands earlier, and the first thing kids can really do is when they get a ball, they can start dribbling that thing, and then you're seeing kids, the athleticism, the strength of players, especially at a younger age, is really becoming, you know, a precedent. And so now, you know, I think guys are playing, you know, more an aggressive off-the-dribble style, so I think that may lend to some kids not being able to shoot the ball as well. But I think you just look at the landscape of basketball, you look at how the game is changing in terms of, you know, the way offenses are being played. You're seeing more and more teams at all levels playing 4 perimeter guys, or you're seeing big guys that can now stretch the floor. I really feel like shooting is becoming a strength in basketball, and I think that's why, you know, the brand is getting a little bit more exciting to watch.
Very good, very good. Great answer there. Mako, everybody that's ever owned a house or rented an apartment or lived in a dorm has probably seen an ant go across the floor. I have about as much clout with the Northwest Conference as that ant that you've seen go across the floor. But with that said, I have 3 things I'd love to see the conference do. We've talked a little bit about this. I would like to see the men and women play at opposite sites, and I have a major reason for doing that. I think women's basketball deserves its own stage. I would like to see the Northwest Conference games not start at 8 o'clock league play on one of the nights, and I'd like to see a Friday Sunday aspect incorporated in. Do I have any chance with any 3 of those?
I don't think so, Greg. I think it's wishful thinking, man. Your chances is about as, you know, as good as an ant making it across any of our houses without getting stepped on there. I think those are all great thoughts, and I think a lot of coaches would be in favor of that, you know. But there's higher ups and there's powers that be that see it differently. So, you know, who knows? I mean, we'll continue to have those discussions. I know, you know, we talk as coaches, you know, we will continue to have those discussions because those are things that are very important to us as well. There's no question it will help make our jobs easier, and really it'll make it, you know, more feasible for the kids that we're coaching as well. And they're the main, you know, things that we should be focused on are the student athletes.
Yeah, I agree there. And I you know, not to argue my point further, not that this is an argument with you, but I guess I always hear, well, you know, we've got to have Sunday off and all this. But to me, part of the great experience of small colleges is the experiences of doing the things beyond the academics, whether it be debate, whether it be playing the saxophone, whether it's developing something new for science on your own. And, you know, athletics plays a part in that. And I guess the other thing I'd like to see is is I would like to see, which I think is maybe more feasible, to do a six-team playoff where the first two-place teams get byes and then the four others battle it out to play them.
Yeah, I would love that as well. That was something we actually brought up in one of our coaches' meetings this year, and it was actually passed by the coaches, and then it was denied by the athletic director. So we'd love to do that. I think obviously giving kids, again, it's about the student athletes. So the more opportunities that they have, the better the experience can be for them, you know, is better for everyone. And obviously that would be one of those, that'd be a key argument in that. And obviously adding a couple more teams to the conference tournament would be an exciting thing to do. But sometimes people are set in their ways, and, you know, and so hopefully, you know, evolution will happen at some point.
Yeah, very good. Mako, I think speaking of evolution at some point, I know if you start focusing on other teams, you sometimes can run into trouble. But I think there was a little bit of inspiration gained by the whole league that Whitman goes in and knocks off Whitworth at Whitworth's own place, goes on to the Sweet 16. They earned it, but, Whitworth is kind of dominated, and I think they've raised the whole level of the rest of the league, and that's a good thing. And I think there's inspiration there gained that from every team. Hey, we're going to be there next year. We're going to do the same thing.
Yeah, no, they've been on the uptick here for quite some time, and I think this is kind of their breakthrough. You know, obviously getting to the tournament for the first time, and then they won that first game, and I'm sure that, you know, gave them a lot of momentum heading into the second round game at Whitworth. They had already beat Whitworth earlier in the year. So I think obviously, you know, I've said this before on your show, you know, Whitworth is the benchmark of our conference. There's no question about it. And I think we're all striving to get to that level, and that's a compliment to their program and their coaching staff and what they've been able to accomplish. It might be wishful thinking for a lot of us, but that's the goal. The goal is to try to get there and compete. And for Whitman and you know, that staff and those kids, I mean, I think, you know, obviously what they were able to accomplish is a big deal. And, it can create hope, but at the same time, we're all in, you know, different situations as well. I mean, every school has their own niche, and we recognize that. And so as much as it was, you know, exciting for Whitman, you know, I don't think the other, you know, seven schools in our conference are, you know, looking at that and saying, oh, great, they did it, we can do it, because we're all in different situations. And I think we have to find, that which is going to allow us to be as competitive as we can. And so, that's what we're kind of in this battle and this fight to do and maximize what we have with the resources that we have and try to do the best with them. And if we can figure that out, then we may have a shot, you know, our school and any other school to compete with those guys, you know, in the near future.
Mako, knowing what I know about you, you're the ultimate team guy, but personally, was there something that you learned this year that our listeners would enjoy hearing about that you didn't realize about coaching, or something about coaching young people that you're going to add to your repertoire as we go into your future coaching, which I think is going to be brilliant? Maybe something brand new or something that you said, I got to start doing this.
I think every year you learn something new. I think it's a very fluid, coaching is very fluid if you're open-minded, and every team is unique. I know for me, having a young team, as I reflect kind of, you know, and I try to do a very good job of having self-awareness. As I reflect on the year, I think one of the things that I learned a lot, I don't know if this is funny or interesting, but it's just sometimes you have to be patient. You know, the way that I like to coach, things are fast. You like to do things quick in practice. And sometimes it's okay to, you know, kind of slow it down to give your kids an opportunity to really grasp. And I was just reflecting on this the other day. You know, I think sometimes we want to be so progressive and progress. And sometimes it's okay to do it at a slower pace. So I think that's something that I'll definitely kind of hang on to moving in to next year. And then the other thing is just trying to find ways to build the confidence of your young man. I think, you know, basketball is such a long season. And I don't care how good you are. There's going to be moments where doubt creeps in. There's going to be uncertainty. You know, you may be in a little bit of a slump on some aspect of the game. Maybe as a team, you lose a couple games. Maybe there's a day or two you don't feel great. And so, you know, I think that's one of the things that I definitely learned, especially this year with the young team. You know, I think we experienced it probably a lot more than most teams. But, you know, how do you keep your basketball team? How do you keep your individuals believing? Not that they ever doubted, you know, what we were doing or where we were going, but just themselves and just kind of overall, like, you know, what they're capable of as a team. And so that confidence, that affirmation, how do you continue to build that and instill it in your guys is something that, you know, is a challenge that, you know, that I got to kind of continue to learn and grow and to be able to give our kids the best chance to be successful when it comes to that aspect of it.
Mako, finalizing it, kind of parlaying on that last great answer you gave, I imagine it's important for every basketball coach on all levels to kind of really know their team, the inner self of each player. Some players you kind of got to ride a little harder, and some you got to pat on the head and everything. They all come from different backgrounds and thought patterns and ability, and that's one of the real challenges for coaching.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the best coaches are you know, great psychologists, because they're able to understand their student athletes. They're able to study them. They're able to know their personalities and then hit on those right buttons. And, you know, coaching is a lot more than just diagramming plays and teaching drills and, you know, executing fundamentals and so on and so forth. It really is. It's a connection. It's about knowing your players. It's about, you know, again, the best coaches get the most out of their guys, and it's not just about putting them in the best possible situations to be successful on the floor. It's also getting them to be 100% bought into what you're doing, believing in themselves, you know, and I think a big part of that is the way you connect and how you get to know your kids. And so that's a huge part of it. It's actually one of the best and most meaningful parts for me. I love that aspect, because every relationship and each kid is unique, and it's cool to be able to find that niche and connect with them and then kind of see where it goes from there.
Mako, as I always say, it's a pleasure to know you, and I really enjoy doing this monthly segment with you the second Wednesday of every month, and we're going to be back again in April, and before we know it, as I said, we'll be April, May, June, July, August, September, October, then November we'll be talking about games. It'll be here quickly.
It absolutely will, Craig. There's no question about it.
Thank you very much, Mako Hamilton. Great job tonight, per usual. Look forward to talking to you in April. Listeners, thank you for listening. And that's the most important thing. But the second most important thing is don't forget to make all your free throws. Good night, everyone. And we'll talk to you with Mako in a month's time. And we'll talk to you again next Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Pacific time. Thank you.